Okay, let's learn a little bit. We're up to Perichov Dal Pasik Chof Zayin. Chof Zayin is Shlomo Melech's advice on Parnasa. When should you get married? And when should you look for a Parnasa? So he says very clearly, Hochein Bachutz Melachtecha. First thing first. First, go out and prepare. Go get an education. Learn a trade. Learn a craft. Prepare Bachutz Melachtecha, your labor, then the atidah basadeh loch. Now, atidah here means, there are many translations, it means prepare. The way it translates in the Mesudah Sion is, inyan hazmana kamo his atidu lagalim.
How about in the Megillah? Yos asidim?
Asidim, to be prepared. Very good, perfect. On the mark, to be prepared, layom hazeh, for this day. So here means the ad to basadlach, and prepare yourself in the field for you. We'll see another interpretation in a moment. And then, achar, afterwards, uvonisa ve'secha, then build your home. Which, now ve'sech, according to many, if not all, means get married. Ein isha, ein bayis, ela isha. So it's telling you, first thing is you have to make preparations, bachutz. Go out to the market, buy implements. Buy tools, buy a plow, buy a wagon, buy oxen, buy seed, prepare yourself for melacha, make preparations, bachutz melachtech, and then the atda basadelach, and then prepare yourself to work with these items in the field. Now take what you have purchased, take your skills, take your preparations, and implement your plan by producing something of value in the field, and achar. And then when you're all said and done, now you have parnasa, the crop has come in, now you're ready to proceed. You have money in the bank, uvonisa v'sech. Let's look at the Mesudas David. Pasik chof zayin hochein. Bitchila first hochein melachtecha bachutz. Vehein meleches sadeh v'chein. This refers to the field and the vineyard. Then the atida hazmein lecha basada de machserecha. Prepare for yourself in the field what you're lacking, whatever your needs are. In other words, through the effort that you exert on your vineyard and your field, you will then prepare for yourself your needs. So he's translating atida mean the produce. Take the produce of the field and the vineyard and convert it into cash, put it away in the bank, and buy yourself your needs, your whatever you need to day machzerech, what you're lacking in this world. Achar zeh, and afterwards, b'nei beitzcha l'shev espo, then build your home to live in. Ki im lo tochin day machzerecha. If you don't first prepare what you're lacking, le'tuchal shev esbayis, ki siyen noided l'lechem, if you don't have what you need, you're not going to be able to build a bayis, you're going to be a wanderer, you're going to be homeless, you're going to be seeking bread. In other words, you have to be responsible in preparing for life. Okay, this is the simple translation according to the Mitzudos, according to Rashi. Rashi says, Sochein Bachutz. Rashi, obviously, L'kidarkoi, is learning this in reference to Talmud Torah. As Rashi, many times in the past, has interpreted this in the more midrashic, in the more homiletical sense. Here he does the same thing as well. He takes the first part of the Pasuk, Bachutz Melachtech, and this refers to Mikra. You should know Chumash, Tanakh, inside out. Then, the Atidah Basodeh, Zo Mishnah. Atida means preparing the field. The field is the field of Mishnah. And then when it says, Achar v'nisa v'secha, zo gemara. Okay, so there's a Seder Hadvarim. You first learn Tanakh. Then you learn this is which method? The Zilberstein?
Yeah.
The Zilberstein method? As it says in the Gemara, when you're 5 years old, you learn Mikra. When you're 10 years old, you learn Mishnah. When you're 15 years old, you learn Gemara. You don't open up a Daf Gemara until you are 15 years old. Today, they already open up the Gemara. Children, probably when they're about 9, 10, already learning Gemara. And they don't even know word of Chumash. I mean, they know Sulul Chumash, but they certainly don't know Tanakh. And obviously, what has happened, I don't know. This is the Seder of Mikra, Mishnah, and then Gemara. Let's go for the Verach, another interpretation of Kimashmo. Then Rashi gives us the more literal interpretation. Kimashmo, b'tchilo kach l'cho sodeh, so first you shall acquire fields and vineyards. V'achar kach, and afterwards, v'atidah, l'oshon asudim, which means animals, a new interpretation. The word atida means livestock. Yeah. Livestock.
Right.
Purchase fields and put in the field livestock. The livestock will eat the produce, so they'll get fat and they will develop, and then you'll slaughter them and you'll have what? You'll have meat.
Where that word is?
Atudim.
By Yaakov?
Yeah. By Matanos, they gave to Esav. Okay, I don't remember either. I don't remember. Bereshis Lamed Aleph. The Achar Kach, the At Loshen Atudim, Sim Lucha Behemos Basodeh, put animals in the field, the Achar Kach, Uvonisa Vesecha, Tikach Isha. And Rashi says it's a little interpretation. So, first thing is you buy property, then you go and on the property, you bring in animals. And livestock, either, I guess it means they get fat, they eat, and you can then sell them or slaughter them, and then you should get married. Okay, so this is the makor for the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says that when a person, before he gets married, should first make sure he has a good parnasa. Go out, get a trade, learn a trade, get a job, and then get married. And the Rambam is very clear. The Rambam says anyone that first gets married, and then first looks for a parnasa, is a shaita. The Rambam, what would the Rambam say about this generation? It's derech of shaitan to do the other way. However, so they actually in the art school Mishnah, they actually quote this Rambam, and then they quote a modern day commentator that says that it's not the minhag today. Niskanu hadaris, and due to the difficulty of Golus, if a person would follow the Rambam and play by the rules, no one would ever get married. It's a scary world out of.
That's what they say.
I mean, pretty much. Read between the lines. They quote that puk chazima amar devar. Look, the Rambam says also the Rambam? There's a machlokes between Tanoim. Should a person devote himself to Torah 100%, or should a person conduct himself in this world? Hanig bohem minag derech eretz. One mandamar says we have a contradiction. One pasuk says, v'gisa bo yomim v'layla. On the other hand, the pasuk says, Vishinantam levonecha, vidibarta bam, vishivtcha bevesecha, uvelechtcha vadechu vishachbucha uvikumecha. You only have to read the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you recite Kriyashma in the morning and Kriyashma at night, you have fulfilled your obligation. So there appears to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the Torah says that you have to learn Yomim v'layla, v'higisa bo yomim v'layla. And the other pasuk says you only have to learn just say Kriya Shema. That's sufficient. So how do you? So what's the answer? So the machlokes the Gemara Tanoim. What's the ikar? What is the ikar? So some of the Rabbi Shmuel, Rashbi, the ikar is to learn Torah day and night. The Gemara says many tried to follow the approach of Rashbi, v'loy olu b'yadam. They were not successful. So. Same thing. They say the same principle as the Rambam, based upon this pasuk, is that many have tried this approach to first be secure, to be 100% secure in parnasa before you go out and build the bias, and many have not been successful. I mean, I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know. You're right. Okay. But these are just the Rosh HaPrakim. You're right. Okay. Okay.
The girls don't want to marry you.
No,
they've been
the only one. Right. So if the guy
works
and he builds a
parnassus,
the girl can't find a girl, can't find a
shiva. That's brainwashing. All right. These are the Rosh HaPrakim. Let's go to the next idea.
Because if nobody's working, they bring together.
That's where the program is. All these programs. Each stands written. That's why they're against Zionism. They want Zionism to conquer the world, because then they would have the programs.
Another mayorism.
All right. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav Ches. Al tihi eid chinam b'reyecha Vecha fitisa bisvasecha. Do not be an aid chinam against your friend, and do not entice him with your lips. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk chavches. Pasuk chavches aid chinam ratzlema davar shlo yedatoi. Do not testify.
You don't know about.
V'im ki hu b'davar chinam she'en b'davar hezek mamon. Even though that you're going to testify things that do not cause a loss to anyone, there are matters that are harmless. Doesn't matter. Being an eid chinam, testifying falsely, is something which is very good of bereyacha. Ba'avur emunas reyacha. What is in bereyacha? In order to find favor in your friend, ratzolaymar. Al kiyodata shedvarav emes, even though you know that your words are emes, don't testify falsely. Be an aid when chinam, your words are meaningless. You are testifying things that you really know nothing about, even though you're not going to cause any harm. Still, it is unethical. Va vahafitisa bisasecha rotzleimer af imbish. What?
What if you do know?
Of course, you're allowed to testify. Of course, that's not what this is
against.
No, it's not Lashon Hara. He's saying.
If you know something good about your friend and it doesn't affect anything, keep your mouth shut. Whose business is it?
Don't okay, but Chinam. Malvim
said to learn that even if you know about it, you shouldn't testify.
Even if you know, if it's not going to serve any purpose. Okay, there are many interpretations. If it's not going to serve any function, then do not testify. B'davar, here he just translates the Queen of Mitzvot, B'davar shlo yodato, regarding a matter that you know nothing about. You know nothing, that's called chinam. Chinam means for free. What do you mean for free? Chinam means, in this context, I know nothing about this issue, and yet I'm going to make believe I know everything and testify in order to find favor in the eyes of my friend. Have I caused anyone harm? No. I've only done something for my own advantage, but what you've done is unethical because you really know nothing. You're not allowed to testify if it's false. Okay, next. Veha pi dafi tisa. Rotzolaymar, afim b'shum pam pitisa ato l'rayacha b'tzvasech la'asos kizos im kol ze ato l'sasakein. Even though he enticed you, so according to the mitzvahs, he's saying that don't know tit for tat. Afim b'shum pam pitisa ato l'rayacha b'tzvasech. Even though I'm sorry, the other way around. Even though in the past you may have done this, afim b'shum pam pitisa. Even though in the past he may have done so. Even though, okay, that's seemingly how we learned. I'm not really sure, but it seemingly he's saying, even though in the past he may have done so, in the past you have enticed him with your lips, that's not an excuse to continue doing the same thing now. Now is the time, it's time to call it quits. I don't know, it has to be something more. Let's see, Rashi over here says, you have enticed your friend with your speech. Seemingly Rashi is saying it's a continuation. It's just repeating the same idea twice. Do not testify falsely against your friend, and do not try to entice him with your language to do something which is not necessarily in to his benefit. Don't abuse the koyach chadiba. Pasuk haftes al toimar kasheras osoli kene eselo. Don't ever say that I will do to him like what he did to me. I'll take revenge. Oshiv leish kifalo, and don't say that I'm going to return to a person his evil deeds. What he has done to me, that's what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to teach him a lesson. It's not for you to teach another person a lesson. A person
doesn't necessarily say that this is a bad sense.
Al toimar, don't do this. What do you mean? Even if it's good.
Because he did good to me.
Okay, that's a deeper idea. Let's see the mitzvahs. Maybe he says the pasuk of test in mitzvahs. Al toimar, al tachshev ashiv lohaish hazek kifalo, ash kasher hemin li, just like he believed me, vehaid kain, amin lo, I'll believe him. I'll testify for him, amin lo, and I'll give him faith. I'll give him confidence. Like we say, I think what he's saying is correct. That's what seems to be saying over here, is that even though I'm doing something good, same way in the past he was kind to me, he testified on my behalf, so too now I'm going to testify on his behalf. The only difference is when he testified for me, he was for real. He really testified. He knew something that was true, and he testified. Here I'm testifying something that I know nothing about. I'm only doing it to repay a favor, but the favor that I'm repaying is based upon a lack of knowledge, and that is unethical. If a person is going to accustom himself to testifying falsely today, tomorrow will be the slippery slope. Will testify real outright lies. Okay, let's go to the next passage. Pasuk da lamed. Pasuk da begins here a story. Al sedei ish otzel ovarti. Shlomo Melech says, I observed the life of the lazy man. The life of the lazy man begins. Good morning, Dr. Fruchta. Freilcha shushan purim. Al stei ish otzel ovarti. I've passed on the field of a lazy man. Yal kerem odam chasar lev. And I've passed the vineyard of a person that's lacking intelligence. Okay, let's go through the psukim together. Pasuk lamed aleph yihine. When I passed these people's fields, what did I discover? Ola chuloi kim shaynim. All of these fields were filled with thorns. Kasufanav charulim. The entire field was filled with weeds. The geder avanav neherasa. And the fence of stone was demolished. A lazy person, there are three different deficiencies that Shlomo is observing about the lazy man. The field is filled with thorns, it's covered with weeds, and the fence has fallen down. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Ve'eches ze'onoichi, Oshis libi, I took note, I gazed intensely at this sight, Oshis libi, I applied it to my heart, I took it in, I took in the lesson of laziness. Re'isi, I've seen. Lokachti Musar, and I've taken for myself a lesson, a moral lesson of the danger of being lazy. Now notice how many expressions he adds into this observation. It's Echezeh, there is Oshis libi, Re'isi, and Lokachti. Four different expressions. To see, the Echzeh is more of an expression which means the future. The word Echzeh is used sometimes by Nevi'im. It's to see into the distance. Ezeu Chacham Horoya Es HaNoilad. I see what's going to come in the future. The second thing is Ashis Libi means I paid attention. It had an effect on me. It changed my behavior. Re'isi, what? I'm the seer. Right, why is a Navi called the seer? Because a prophet is called a prophet is someone that sees the future. He sees the see what's vision, what's going to be down the line. So here in this expression, Brechazanochi, he's telling you that if a person that's lazy, you may not realize right now, what's the big deal? Right now he has money in the bank, right now he's okay, he has what to wear, he has what to eat, but you don't understand that a person who's lazy, now, today, the effect of the laziness is long term. The main effect will happen down the road, and that's what he's saying here. These words v'echzanochi ashis libi always has a connotation of I change my behavior. It's one thing to watch and to observe, and then okay, fine, too bad for him. It doesn't have any effect on me. But when you see something horrible, and you realize that you may suffer the same thing may happen to you. You change your behavior. You change your course of action. The third expression is ro'isi. Ro'isi is appears to be in this context a more simplistic approach. Just I see what's happening now. Lokachti Musar, I have taken Musar. It would appear that the second part of the pasuk is a parallel to the first part of the pasuk. Corresponding to Echazeh is the word ro'isi, and corresponding to Oshis Libi is Lokachti Musar. I don't know what's the difference. It's a poetic repetition. I'm sure there's something much deeper, but I don't know. Okay, then we go over here. Let's go over here. Pasuk, so finish up the pasuk, and then we'll come back and do all the pasuk in one shot. Pasuk lamed gimel me'at sheinos. What was the musar? What was the lesson I learned from observing the lazy man not take care of his field? I learned me'at sheinos, me'at tenumos, me'at chibuk yodayim lishkav. Three things. There are three lessons. Number one, a person should not sleep. Number two, he should not engage in tenuma. Okay, the third thing is do not engage in chibuk yodayim lishkav, in folding your hands together while you are resting on your bed. Three expressions of sleeping: shena, tenuma, and chibuk yodayim when you're sleeping. When a person sleeps, do his hands really fold upon one another? Well, maybe there are different. There are different studies. They say they claim that in ancient times, so they claim. Maybe you can Google it. You'll see what it says, that they were much more disciplined in how they slept. We sleep today like slobs. We just lie down on the bed, and wherever our hands land, they land. Wherever our feet land, they land. Sometimes you wake up, you lie down on one side of the bed, and you wake up on the other side of the bed. Sometimes you wake up on the floor, especially children. Children, they wake up all over the place. So we have no discipline when we sleep. It's a total, because that our sleep reflects our life. Just like we live a life of hefkeiros, so our sleep is even worse. That's how it is. But a person who is disciplined when they are awake is even more disciplined when there are things like Purim. Nichnas yayin yetzei sod. When a person loosens up, you drink a little bit of wine, then your pneumius, your subconscious, your pneumius comes forth. It used to be in olden days, people would drink a little bit. Pearls of wisdom would come out of their mouth. You give a Talmud Chacham some yayin, you give a person some yayin, beautiful things would come. Person opens up. Unfortunately, today we're not in this madrega. Nichnas yayin yetzei sod. What comes out is not very pleasant, because that's a reflection that we don't live such pleasant, such disciplined, such holy lives. So it's the same thing on a much smaller scale. When a person goes to sleep, this is what it says in the books. When a person goes to sleep, that's really a reflection of his discipline, of the way he behaves when he is awake.
In the Yiddish expression, it's a poem. What a sober person has in his lung internally, a shikr has on his tongue.
On his tongue, exactly. So even though that's besides for drinking on a smaller scale, when a person goes to sleep, I don't know how correct this is, but I saw that in I once went to that museum that Rabbi Deutsch, yeah, in the Living Torah in the Borough Park. So he showed us, it says in the parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he bowed down al roish hamitah. So what's the Rosh Hamita? So he showed, he took out a little thing out of his closet, out of his glass cage, this little stick, like a little stand. And he says, this is the Rosh Hamita. What does it mean, the Rosh? So he explained to us, and I don't know exactly what I'm saying is correct, not correct, and it has to be explained, but you would imagine, in ancient times, a bed was like a kippas chasanim, this canopy, this king size bed with 10 mattresses and a canopy on top, an elaborate spread to lie down on. That's not the way the average Egyptian went to sleep. The average went to sleep on a board, probably the size, probably the width of this table. It was flat, hard like a rock. No mats, and at the very, very tip was a round, he showed us, was a round, like a headrest, like a moon-shaped headrest. And the person lie down on his back, and he put his head or his neck into this headrest, and that's how he slept. There's no one today that would go to sleep like that, because it's very uncomfortable. It's torture. This is torture to lie down. What?
Everyone sleep like that on the plane. They put
this hard link.
Inflatable headrest, and
But he explained to us that the truth is, if you're a disciplined person, this is the most comfortable form of sleep possible. To lie down perfectly flat, rested, and your head in just a little slightly upright position, resting in a certain angle, this is the perfection. This is the perfect way you get the sleep that you will gain by putting your head down like this, lying down in this manner. For 6-7 hours, you'll wake up a new man. You'll never have the rest of your life. Come to sleepies, the rest of your life. Is that the commercial? Is that the right one? There are different commercials for mattresses. So, but we don't look like that, because we're not that disciplined. So here he describes here chibuk yodayim lishkof. When they actually slept, they put their hands in a certain position, which would enhance their ability to sleep in a very disciplined way. We take these two words together, doesn't make any sense. When you're sleeping, your hands are not resting one upon the other. They're not like you mentioned, you go like this. Okay, but I think over here means something. It means a very a position of sleep where you put your hands one on top of the other in a rested form, and that's how they slept in ancient times. But in any event, here there are three different forms of sleeping. There's Shena, there's Tenuma, and there is Chibuk Yodayim Lishkov, which can simply mean three different levels of sleeping. We all know today that scientists have broken it down to five levels, if I'm not mistaken. Five different madrigals of sleeping, year five. And the deepest is REM, rapid eye motion. That's when we dream. So l'chol, you would say that's the last level. That's shchiva. Shchiva is out cold. And the first level is shena. Maybe shena is when you're awake, you're even daydreaming. And then there's tenuma. Tenuma means you're out, at least you're not conscious. You're You're sleeping. You're not aware of your surroundings. And the last level is yod chibuk yodaim lishkov. So simple, on a very simple level, this is some poetic description that a person in this world should minimize his degree of all various forms of sleep in order that he can accomplish great things in this world. Okay, pasuk lamedal one pasuk. We'll go back and read everything together in the mitzvahs and Rashi uba mishalech reishach. And a person will follow the rules I have laid out and not be lazy and minimize the amount of sleep. Then ubo mishalech reishecha. Reishecha means your poverty. That mishalech means the poverty will go away. Which means that if a person has a bad day, if the market crashes and you're wiped out, chas v'shalom, don't worry. There's always a tomorrow. You'll be able to come back, to make a comeback. Resilience. Because a lazy person who's not lazy does not give up. Just because he encounters difficulty, the stumbling blocks, he will always make a comeback. And what's lacking, if a person finds himself in a situation where he's lacking, it's an amazing yisod. Over here, he's revealing us over here the most fundamental rule in military training. Anyone over here go for basic training? Rav Meir, you go for basic training? if we were living in Eretz Yisrael, so probably, and we're not, we probably, everyone in Eretz Yisrael, if you, unless you're Haredim, you go for basic training. And basic training, rule number one is, when you're in a dangerous matzav, don't sit still. Just move around. If you're sitting still, you're an open target. You're an open target for a sniper, for even an enemy. An enemy sees you just sitting there in one position. It's easy as you're a sitting duck. And therefore, the first rule is, whenever you're on the battlefield in a vulnerable position, just move. Move, 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 move. It is infinitely more difficult to hit a moving target than a sitting duck. Even a skilled sniper. The person is moving. You don't have time to focus. The chance of being knocked out is going to be much, much less. And that's exactly what it says here. It's amazing. This idea is captured in this pasuk by the Mesudas. You'll be like an ish mogen. What does an ish mogen have to do with a person who is poor? A person who has suffered a setback in life. It means just like a person who is at war and is holding a shield. Basically means he's a warrior. He's taught, move. Don't sit. Don't be a sitting duck. You got to be on the move. No one should attack you, take you out. Likewise, if a person suffers a setback, just go forward. Don't worry about it. What was was. Masha hoya kvar hoya. Go forward. Go forward and find the solution. Go forward and you'll make a comeback. Okay, well, now let's go take all these psukim together, because really it's one long story. We'll try to breathe these psukim together. Let's see over here back to chav pasuk chav tes. Okay, person says. No, I'm sorry. Back to pasuk lamed. Lamed. I'll stay over here. Shlomo says, I made a following observation upon a field. Who inyan melitza lomar hine his bainanti b'maser atzel. Shlomo says, I've went and I have analyzed, contemplated the deeds of the lazy man. And what I have discovered, in Pasuk Lamed, I have discovered, Ola chulo kim shoinim. What's chulo? Al kol hasade. Upon the entire field, Ola koitzim. Thorns. Kibavur ho atzlus. Due to his laziness, lo chorash koroi. He did not plow the field properly, lachtech to cut shiroshe hakoitzim, the roots of the thorns, labal yigdolu, so that they should not grow tall. Next, what else? Now he doesn't say the next part of the pasuk. Kosu ponav charulim. Okay, that's obvious. Same idea. That means that the entire field is filled with weeds, thorns. Rashi says another type of thorn. It's another type of thorn. And then the third part says
thistles,
thorns and thistles. And then the third part is the goder and defense of the Havon of Neros has collapsed. Geder Havon Mashal Yisav of Neros Ki Otzel Sar Hashkochos. So the fence around the field has collapsed because the lazy man has not paid attention to its upkeep. Pasuk Lamed Beis. And then I saw Ve'echaz Anochi Ashes Libi Roisi Lokachti Musar, three things, or really four things. Ve'echazet Ve'chasher Isi Ani Es Kol Zes Samti Libi Lohavin Es Ha'atzlas. I applied myself. I apply the lesson to my heart to understand the way of the lazy man, what he does. When I saw what he did, and here are the key words, the purpose of taking Musar is to change yourself. I didn't just observe this as a form of entertainment to witness someone else's loss, another person's suffering. I use this as a lesson for myself to change my ways. What was my lesson? Pasuk Lamed Gimel, three things. To Mima'ayit in Shena Tnuma and Chibuk Yodayim Lishkov, Ma'at Shiras Rakot Blot Shalom, Reisi Kiderech Anochon Lama'at B'Shena, the proper way is Ma'at M'Shena B'Tnuma V'Goymer. Chibuk Yodayim, Derech HaShaychev Lanuach, the Derech of a person who sleeps lying down, Mechabek Yodav Zebzeh, when you sleep, you put your hands one on top of the other. Really? Like I told you, we're dealing over here with a different society, different culture of a disciplined form of sleep. Uba pasik lamid daal. This is a more difficult pasik. And what was the musar I learned from observing the lazy man and how he suffers? Uba ratzalaymar. Okay, here's something interesting. Imkain tas taase oz af impam yavo lucho ha'oini. This is what you should do if occasionally poverty comes upon this person. So over here he's translating the word reishecha as the word rosh. Rosh means impoverished. If chas v'shel a person comes to a matzah where he is poor, this is what you should do. What should you do? The pasuk says, "Ulo sasmid." Do not continue. Do not continue in this situation of poverty. Ki telech la, you shall walk away from it. Pick yourself up and walk out of your poverty. Kiderech hamahalech baderech, like a person who's walking on a road. Isn't an amazing thing? A person that's so, it's so easy. A person is in a very bad matzav. Pick yourself up and walk away, and you can become a wealthy man in overnight. Kiderech hamahalech baderech she'ein emesakiv zman rab. A person that's walking on a road doesn't stay in one place the same moment of time. And now the pasuk repeats the same theme. In other words, the second of the pasuk says exactly the same thing. Umach soyrecha. Mach soyrecha basically means reishecha. Parallels the word reishecha. What you are lacking, person finds himself in a situation where he's poor. Afim yavulucha chisaron ma be'oisher. Even if a person comes upon him poverty, she'ein be'oisher lo yisakev hachesaron. Don't remain in this situation, but rather be like the man who chederech ish hamaluvash b'magen, like the man who is dressed with a shield, armor. Loredes el hamuchamo, when he goes down to war, she'ein darkoi lehisakev b'makom min hamakomos, he doesn't stay still. A person, a warrior in battle, does not sit in one location. He is always on the move. Always on the move. And therefore, that's the same message we're giving a person who is not lazy. He's always on the move. And the musar is, even if he suffers a setback, pick yourself up and get out of it and move forward. Okay, let's look at Rashi back to Pasek Lamed. Rashi Pasek Lamed to the man that's lazy. She'enu Chayzer al Girsas Talmud. Rashi Kedarkoi. Going back to what he said in the previous set of Sukkim is we're learning about a person does not learn Torah. He's lazy, and laziness in the learning of Torah is not reviewing what you learn. Chayzer al Girsas Talmud. What is he like? He's like he finds kimoishim, kimshainim, kasu, panav, charulim. What are these words? So kimshainim is choichim. Choichim is a thorn, a choich. And what's the word? What's the next word? Is kasu, nichsu, covered. Okay, then it says another word, charulim. What are charulim? Gidoilim, mikimoishim. They are larger than thorns. They first start out as little thorns, and then they grow into large thorns. Vareihim chodim kikoitzim, they're just as sharp as thorns. Vegeder avon of neherasa, kach mi she'enu chayzer al tamudai, mitchila, a person does not review what he learned originally. Mishakech roshei prakim, he forgets the roshei prakim. The soif and the end is mischalif divrei chachamim mizel lezel. Look at how he describes. First, he forgets the Rosh Hashanah. When you think that he forgets everything, I think he means to say that if it, even the basics, it's one thing when you learn something, so you don't, it's not expected when you study something to remember every single little detail. But at the very least, when you take a course in a subject, you should come away knowing the Rosh HaProklamer. You meet someone in the street and they talk to you, you can talk to them intelligently about the topic, because at one point in time in your life, you have studied this in depth. Now I don't remember every single detail, but I remember the basics. But if a person does not review, guess what? You don't even remember the Rosh HaProklamer, you don't even remember the basics. It's like people learn Yerodea, get smicha. If you don't chaz Yerodea, it's very, very hard Yerodea. If you don't chaz Yerodea, some people never open up Yerodea the rest of their lives. If you don't chaz Yerodea, you forget even the basics. What's basar? What's cholov? Is it cholov or is it chelev? What's shumim? What's chelev? You forget it. What is that thing called? The kurkavan. What's the kurkavan? What's the kloyos? The chelev machase es hakeref. Who is this little guy over here?
Rabbi, we're saying if you're poor, you are lazy, or some poor people are lazy?
No. There are all different types of laziness. There's laziness when it comes to wealth. There's laziness in learning. There's some very, very wealthy people. They're multi-billionaires. But when it comes to Torah, they're as poor as a church mouse. And there are some Talmidei Chachamim who are the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, but they are. But when it comes to material wealth, they're lazy. They don't seek wealth, and unfortunately they don't have the basic needs. So it says over here Rashi is interpreting the pasuk in reference to person who has money, parnasa. The issue over here is that when it comes to his Torah knowledge, he's extremely lazy. He does not go to the effort of learning what, reviewing what he learned, and that can lead to great ignorance. And it says here, kach mi shene mochez al talmudim mitchilu meshkech meshakech. First he forgets the Rosh HaProklamer, and then what's the worst? The worst says v'soif. This is really very interesting Rashi, how he describes the tragedy of not learning. Rashi seems to say two things which are not exactly the same. I don't really know what it means here. First, he says that you attribute the halacha to the wrong person. Who is the one who said this halacha? Rava, not Rabba. Abaya, not Rava. Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir. When you attribute the halacha to the wrong person, that can lead to very great problems. And then he says something else. Al tahar tamid, al tamid tahar, yimachriv es ha'olam. You can destroy the entire world by passing the wrong halacha. Okay, this is not like what Rav Soloveitchik said. This Rashi, this derech melitz. There's a little bit of a joke, but I told you this once. Rav Soloveitchik, one of his Talmudim wanted to become a doctor. Rabbi Kefet mentioned, said over the story, and he said, "Oh, you want to become a doctor? Oh no, better be a rabbi. Why? If you're a rabbi, and a balabas calls you up, and he asks you, he says that some milk fell in the pot, and you don't know the halach, you make a little mistake, you don't remember, is it exactly shishim, is it not shishim, and you tell him it's kosher, and really it wasn't kosher, so what already did you do already? So he ate some non-kosher. All right, terrible thing. He ate something that minat Torah. It's really kosher. It's batel b'roiv. But midrabanan, there's shishim. You made a mistake. So new the world goes on. But if you're a surgeon, and my student, believe me, you're no surgeon. But if you try to be a surgeon and you have someone there on the table and you're cutting his, opening up his heart, and you make a little teeny mistake, he's dead. So it's much more dangerous to be a doctor than it is to be a Talmud Chacham. So Rashi here says just the opposite. Rashi here says that when it comes to the Olam HaTorah, of course, Rav Soloveitchik knew this Rashi. He's just building it up. The importance of being at top of your game, no matter what you do. But if you really appreciate what Torah is all about, and you live Torah, then making a mistake in halacha is machriv. These are very powerful words. V'machriv es ha'olam, a mistake in halacha can bring about the churban of the entire world.
You attribute it to somebody. Still be following halacha, doing it correctly.
Well, not necessarily. If we don't paskin like that, if you have a machlokes and we don't paskin like that, so even though you'll always find the das yachid, you'll find everywhere in the Gemara also muta, but that's not the halacha. It's not the halacha. It's not accepted. Even to come and so there, therefore, you have to follow the halacha. These are very powerful words. Machriv es ha'olam. By not following the halacha, you can destroy the entire world. Okay, now that concludes this parak. There are some midrashim. There's one thing I want to bring to your attention: the medrash mishlei parashavav. And he takes this. What's the message? The message is be ma'at shena, ma'at numa, ma'at chibuk yodayim lishkaf. Why the repetition? Why the three things? So the first thing he interprets shena, we all know, is very similar to the word mishnah. So he says that a person, this is the Mahalach of Rashi, we're interpreting this pasuk in reference to learning Torah, that a person should be ma'ayet in Shena, meaning don't waste your time, spend time learning Mishnah. When it says Tenuma, this is very interesting, he says this means Tfilah. Don't waste your time sleeping, but rather, so maybe it's the first bracha we say, Elokai nishama shana sat vita hori atavir asa ta yitzar ta ta tefach ta biva ta mishama b'kibi ata sed lita lo amenu la chazir bi li oslo b'kol zman shan nishama v'kir bi mo'dan lefnech Hashem Elokai v'kai v'sari b'un kol amas v'dun kol ha nishama sama chazir nishama. So where do we say tenuma? Where do we say tenuma in the bracha? Hamavir shena meina usnuma usnuma, very good, usnuma me'af apoy. So interesting, the first bracha of the Birchas HaShachar is Hamavir shena, not the first bracha, but Hamavir, the last of the brachas of Birchas HaShachar for tefillah is Hamavir shena meina usnuma. Usenuma, now you say also Shena, so it says Shenos is sleeping. All right, so I don't know if it's different levels. We discussed that different levels of sleep, three different levels. But it's interesting over here. It is interesting over here that the Medrash specifically says the word Tenuma is a code word for waking up to daven. Shena is a code word. Wake up, or don't deny yourself the ability to learn Torah. Shena means learn Mishnah, learn Torah in this world. Shena Mishnais, we're learning over here not just from Mishnais, in the broader picture, Torah. Spend time, your awake hours, learning Torah. Give up from time that you would sleep in order to devote to the study of Torah. Tenuma, according to the Medrash, is a code, don't sleep and the way and the give up an opportunity to dive into Hashem. And the last is chibuk yodayim lishkaf. What?
This nam name to like doze
off. But he's it's a light. Okay, we translate before originally it's a deeper level. Shena is a lower level. Tenuma is a deeper. And there are different interpretations. It all depends on the context. And the last thing the Medrash says is chibuk yodayim lishkaf tashmish hanita. This refers to a person should be mimayet in marital relations, which obviously is a mashal for indulging pleasure in this world. A person should not sleep away his life symbolically by indulging in the pleasures. Give up the pleasures of this world in order to accomplish things. So that's the repetition, the triple message of the pasuk, the triple musar that Shlomo says, I've learned from the lazy man who lets his field grow with thorns and thistles and allows the world to collapse. What's the message that I've applied to the lokachti musar? I've learned that in this world there are three things you have to do. Number one, you have to learn Torah, you have to daven, and you have to be mimayit discipline, musar. Musar is to be mimayit in pleasure. And all of these things require a person to give up from his sleep. It's all built on the mashal of Shena, Tenuma, and Chibuk Yodayim Lishkaf. Okay, let's just begin very briefly the next parak, just a little bit. Parak Chaf Hei. Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo Asher Hetiku Anshei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. This is the third Sefer of Sefer Mishlei. We mentioned before that there are three parts of the Sefer Mishlei. The very beginning, Parak Yud, the very beginning of Mishlei begins with the words of Mishlei Shlomo, Mishlei Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. Okay, here it mentions Ben David, Shlomo. Here we don't have Ben David.
Also, yes.
And then we have Perek Yud.
You also said
Okay, let's see the words in Perek Yud. Oh, so there it's a different expression. Mishlei Shlomo, kama. Bein Chacham Yisamachov. Okay, so here again we don't have over here Ben David, just Mishlei Shlomo. And now we have Gam Eile Mishlei. These are also Mishlei Asher Atiku, which were quoted by the Anshek, which were Atiku, which means the different translations we'll see over here, which were put into writing. After all, this is Sefer Kisuvim. We know the difference between Kisuvim and Nevi'im is Nevi'im were things that were not meant necessarily to be written. Nevi'im were the words of the prophets that were meant to be said. It's difficult because you have Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Yehoshua, which Sefer Melachim, which really is a record. It's a narrative. It's a record which seemingly, it's like Divrei Hayamim, which was meant to be put in writing. It's a difficulty. I don't know the answer, but the Nevi'im Acharonim, certainly, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Treyaser, the reason why those are called Nevi'im, those words were not necessarily meant to be put in writing. Those were words that were said, were spoken live to a tzibur. People were listening when those words were said. It happened to be that at a later point in time, a record was made of what was spoken and was put into writing. Ksuvim were never spoken. And even if they were spoken, they were given as sermons. It was only from the text. They were written to be read. And then later on, people would come and maybe they would read them. They would read them on Shabbos Mincha, or maybe Shlomo himself read them. But it was not meant to be spoken. So here we have this idea of this. That's why this really fits very well to this part where it says, Asher Hetikoi. Hetikoi means it was preserved in writing. It was preserved in writing the words of Shlomo by whom? By the Anshei Chizkiah, Melachi, the people of Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda. Chizkiah was much later. Chizkiah was much after Shlomo HaMelech, which means that it was preserved for quite a long time.
He started adding Chafei, or he wrote...
So Gam Eile, so it would seem... The first, by the way, who put together Mishlei? This is a very interesting point. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which means it was not put into the book form until the Bayis Sheni, until the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Yet, already, that means that there were little pamphlets, kuntresim. The little kuntresim, Shlomo, he wrote a little thing over here, a little thing over here, a little thing over here, and then came along the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and they compiled all of these little kuntresim, and they made it into a sefer called Sefer Mishlei. One of the things, the kuntresim they compiled was what they found from Chizkiyahu, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, his people, not necessarily him, but his court. They put together different mishalim that Shlomo HaMelech said, which were in addition to what we have already have found from the first two parts of the Sefer, and this also was compiled into this thing that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah called Sefer Mishlei. Now, by the way, we mentioned last week, the reason why we're sitting here Gam Eil is because the Kamat, this is the last Perek, was not from Shlomo, was from other Chachamim who lived during the time, throughout history, other chachamim who wrote different words of wisdom that were compiled. Like I said, this last paragraph, gam ele divrei chachamim. That was the beginning of perikhof dalet. So that's also something which was added to Sefer Mishlei. And at the very end of Sefer Mishlei, we're going to have from this person Lemel, and from another person, another whole section of Divrei Chochmah that is not from Shlomo HaMelech. But over here, the only point we want to make is this, the third part of the Sefer Mishlei, and this part of Sefer Mishlei came to us not from Shlomo himself, it came from things that were passed down from the time of Shlomo to a much later point in time and was put into writing by the Anshei Chizkiah. They are the ones who put this following section in writing. Okay, let me just, I lost the page. Okay, so God, Asher Atiku Anshei Chizkiah Melech Yud. Now let's see over here what it says in the Mitzvot Pasuk Aleph. Gam Eile, along Mitzvot, Yireh. It appears. Ki Mitchilas HaSefer Ad Heino, Hoyo Mu'utok Biyad HaKoil. It appears. It appears that from the beginning of the Sefer until here, Perukhav Hei, Hinei Hoyo Mu'utok Biyad HaKoil, it was in the possession, it was written, and in the possession of everyone, and it predated the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Umikan at Soifoy lo hoyo mu'utok ki biyad Anshei Chizkiah. the section that we're about to read now was only in the possession of Chizkiah's court, Melech Yehuda. Asher hetiku hadvam ve'elu, they put into writing Misifrei Shlomo, Asher nizdamein lohem, which they had access to. Ulze amar, and that is why now, when this was compiled at a later point in time, it begins gam ela heim mishle Shlomo rotzul amar im ki lo nim subiyat hakol. Even though that this section that we're about to present to you was not coming, was not in the possession of the kadmoinim from the time from that part of time, mikol makom, you should be aware that what we're telling you is authentic. Gam ela devarav asher tiku anshe and everything we're telling you now is Ne'eman al-Hadavar, Shem Epi Shlomo Yatzu, they came out of the mouth of Shlomo. And the main point we really want to make is that everything over here, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola are telling us was written with Ruach HaKodesh. There are many books that are studied by Jewish scholars, the Apocrypha. Okay, but there are a number of interesting svarim, a lot of very interesting, even like, for example, Sefer HaMakabim. Sefer HaMakabim, some argue, should really be part of Ksuvim. They're written in the same form and style. Okay, there's another. Ben Sira was a little bit different. It could be that Ben Sira maybe was also something similar to Mishlei. In Echnami, I don't know the Kosov Sef Ben Sira, the authorship. Or the other ship. Gemara quotes Ben Sira. And then you never remember some of the other books? Is that what it's called?
Some of the books have a lot of angels and things.
There's also a book about Chanoch.
Ben Sira.
There's a book, Sefer Enoch, how do they say it in English? Enoch. Enoch? Is that accepted to be a kosher book? You know, they have from the Gospels, there's a lot of apocryphals also. Things have been corrupted.
They have their apocryphal.
But they have their, right. But there are certain books, if I'm not mistaken. Right, they canonize them in their order. But if I'm not mistaken, that book, what's it called again? What's it called? Chanoch?
Enoch?
If I'm not mistaken, it's a legitimate sefer. And what was written in that sefer? There's a lot of fascinating things about what happened. Mesushelach, Chanoch, he was taken by HaKadosh Baruch before he died. What happened in that kuf, in that period of time in the world after Adam? Some amazing yediyos. However, Anshei Knes HaGadol did not believe that it was worthy. It was al pi ruach hakodesh to the same degree that we have the Sifrei Ksuvim, and they did not canonize it in Tanakh. It's not here.
Some of those books are in English. They call it pseudo epigraphic. What that means is they attribute the name to the book just to give it cheese, but it wasn't written by the person whose name is in the
It wasn't written by
the person whose name the book is named after.
It was written by someone else. Yeah. Right. So the question is, was it written up in Ruach HaKodesh? This pasuk here is a very powerful pasuk because it's making a statement by telling us, Gam Eile Mishle Shlomo Asher Etiku, the one that is telling us that everything here was written up in Ruach HaKodesh and is worthy as being part of Sifrei Kodesh is the Anshei Chizkiah Melech Yehuda. That is really what, in essence, what the Mitzvot here is in the Sfinish of Yerkim, Yad Anshei Chizkiah Melech Asher Hatiku Hadram Wa'ela Misifrei Shlomo Asher Nizdam Lohem Lulze Amar Gam Eile Mishle Shlomo Rotla Ma'im Kilo Inim Subyad Hakom Mikom Mokom Gam Eile Devav Asher Hatiku Anshei Chizkiah Vihim Nimonim Al Davar Shenemar Shemipi Shlomo Yatsu. It came out of the mouth of Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, next Mitzudos. Okay, that's really it now. Let's look a little further at the Mitzudos and the word Hetiku. It's a long Mitzudos. What does it mean Hetiku? Koy Seif HaDvarim MiSefer El Sefer Yikra Matik. Matik means to transcribe. When you write a Megillah, when you write a Sefer Torah, what are you really doing when you're writing a Sefer Torah? You're being Matik. You're not writing anything new. When you koise, it's original. It's creative. It's plagiarism. Plagiarism, you attribute it to yourself. But matik here means you. What's a good translation for the word matik? Matik. What?
Transcribe.
Transcribe the copy. You're copying. Matik lefi shnir ki ilu matik umesir hadvarim misham lekosam me'acher. You are copying, transcribing from another source. Imki nishar gamber yishum mikol makom nirhu ki ilu mesir misham. So the Mitzudah says the word matik has more of a connotation that you are, there's nothing left from the original. In other words, I'm plucking, I'm removing the letters. I take Misham Hahara. They moved. They uprooted themselves. So where you are now, you are not before. So he's making over here very, he's saying something very interesting to really, if you want to darshan this pasuk in more depth. Hataka literally means you pluck. You pluck from one location and you rest it in a new location. That's not what you do when you transcribe. When you transcribe, what you put here is here, but you have not diminished the source. So the Mitzudos, he apologizes. You're right. It's not a literal translation. It's a borrowed translation. When the person, when you're observing someone go and look over here and go over here, it looks like he's plucking the letters from one book and he's putting it in a new book. But the truth is, the old book remains what was, was. Okay, that's the literal translation. But obviously there's a flavor of drush. If the fact that the pasuk actually says the word hatak asher etiku anshei chizkiyahu melech Yehuda, it begs the question, why exactly is that word being used? It does have a connotation that it's something. It's there's nothing left in the original form. I don't know. Rashi appears to be bothered by that question.
The opposite. I would think maybe there were bits and pieces of this wisdom around, and that they combined them, and when they transcribed them, they means they collected and combined them and put it together in this form.
Compiled. But that's not what he says. He says over here, Gamil, the word hetiku means to copy. These were copied from Chizkiah's men had in front of them.
Okay, so they copied.
They copied. And now we have it here as well. But the word hetiku is not to be taken literally. That's the way the Mitzudah's point makes. However, Rashi seems to be bothered. Yes, I said right. I read the two. That's what he did. Cost of advar min sefer sefer yikra matik lufi shenirek ilu matik umesir. It looks like you're removing advar misham lekosam be acher. The imki nisharu gam berishon. Even though the words remain in the original form, mikol makom nirehu ki ilu meisir misham. It looks like it's been uprooted, but it's not technically, physically been uprooted. Okay, Rashi seems to be bothered by this borrowed translation. If Rashi says to matik means first chazar ledarsham kishenismane Chizkiah lemelech. When Chizkiah lemelech became king, the people there, his people, his court darshened. They went to elaborate, to elucidate, and discuss these words. Who hoishiv talmidim b'chol ear kinamin perik chelik badku midon v'yad bereshiva v'loy matzu amoretz. They did not find an amoretz midon v'yad bereshiva. There was not a baki in the tumah v'tara. And then he says hetiku. Hechzikoi, a new translation, strengthened. They strengthened these words, not to quote, not to copy. What does it mean that this was, this is Chizkiah's credit? Chizkiah was the one that was marbet Torah b'Yisrael. When he became king, there was an incredible degree of amaratzis. People, it's Chizkiah himself. In his generation, there was a very great degree of ignorance, and he put a sword on the Beis Medrash, and he said, anyone that does not study the Torah will be killed by the sword. But and here he said that in his time, this is part of what they did, what they saw. What did they learn in those days? They learned Reb Chaim's. Did they learn Sefer Mishlei? They learned Sefer Mishlei. That's what it says. They took the words of Shlomo, and they gave courses. That's what it says. Rashi.
Kishen is. Yeah, seems to indicate over here that, I mean, basically what you started to say initially was that Mishlei, the way Shlomo wrote it, ended here. And now the Chachamim and the
appended.
Yo decided to go through his writings. And add this Gamela, these also, they pick through little nuggets of what he wrote, decided to add these to the Sefer before they were Masada.
But according to Rashi, there's a very interesting lesson. It's very interesting to study the time of Chizkiah HaMelech. And if Rashi is telling us that what we're about to read now is what they focused on in his generation, when we read these next couple of parakim, or these next sections, we're going to learn a lot about the times. The times that led up to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. If this is what they're studying now in his generation, obviously this has a very... They could have studied other things. There are many other things. If they're focusing specifically on these things, obviously there are a lot of hidden messages to their times about the Churban, and being that we are in Golis, obviously there are a lot of messages for us in the coming parakim that we're going to learn. All right, let's stop over here.